Welcome back, Josh.
Welcome back, Daniel. How you doing today, buddy?
Dude, I am doing great.
Man, we're 2 days after Christmas. Did you have a good one?
Man, Christmas was awesome. And right before Christmas, we did the Fang Fang story. And like, it just hyped me up all the way through the holidays.
Yeah, that was a fun one. I had a blast doing
that. I've been going around telling everybody that I come across about it.
About Fang Fang?
Oh, dude. And I make it like a 15-minute story.
Well, man, you got to, because we only held it out for about 22 minutes.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. I love retelling it. It's definitely one of those I'm going to hold in my back pocket for campfire stories.
Nice, nice. Well, today on Lost in Thought, we're going to cover the story of Mostly Harmless.
Ooh, yeah. I've read a little bit about it, and I think you've dug a little bit deeper than I have.
Yeah, this is the story of an unidentified hiker who was found along the Fort Lauderdale Trail in a place called Noble's Camp. It happened on July 23rd, 2018, when two hikers from Fort Lauderdale found his yellow two-person tent. Now, they were trying to use a community public picnic area. Okay. And they saw the tent was occupied. They saw his boots were outside. So they were like, well, somebody's got to be in the tent.
Right.
There was a horrible smell as well.
See, I did read about this. If I'm right, when they opened the tent up, they pulled the tent open. And the first thing he seen was a guy sitting upright, his body twisted at an angle. He was malnourished.
Yeah.
He was malnourished. Skin and bones. Tiny, tiny, tiny. His eyes were wide open, but he was deceased.
Yeah, so they called 911 immediately, and can be quoted saying, we found a dead body. Mm. Now, investigators from the Collier County Sheriff's Department cataloged the man's belongings. They found a beige shirt, gray shorts, underwear, Salomon hiking boots, which are fairly high-end, flip-flops, a nice branded tent and sleeping bag, matching hiking poles, food, a pack, a baseball bat, and $3,640 in cash.
The cash part is what makes the mystery a little, makes it kind of stand out even more.
Yeah, absolutely. His laptop and his cash was not disturbed whatsoever.
Right.
So, I mean, it doesn't really think you'd lead anything to foul play.
Yeah, not only that, but it was just the way he was sitting and the way he was found in general.
Yeah, there were two notebooks full of computer code, and like I said, there was almost $4,000 in cash. They didn't find a wallet, driver's license, credit cards, ID, cell phone, or anything that would have identified the man.
You know, and that's what, when I first started reading, like I said, you've dug into this way more than me, but when I come across that he had the cash, I was like, okay, maybe he was going along the Appalachian Trail and was just hitting ATMs up on his way down when he ran out of cash. But then it was like, there's no debit card. And yeah, I was like, yeah, and I was like, well, then again, this is, at this point, he had been on that trail for over a year.
Uh-huh.
So how much cash do you think he started off with?
I was going to estimate around $5,000.
And he was just carefully and being frugal with it on the way down.
Yeah, spending a little money, eating, staying at hostels, buying gear when he needed to.
Right.
I mean, if you're living as meager as that tends to be, $1,500, $1,600 out of the $5,000 could probably get you a good ways.
Probably go a long ways.
Yeah. The District 20 Medical Examiner's Office performed an autopsy. The guy was 5'8". He weighed about 83 pounds, and he was markedly cachetic, which really means that his muscles had all but wasted away. The man's stomach contents were empty, and the only chemicals found in his bloodstream were ibuprofen and antihistamines, which means he might have been trying to treat himself for something that was going on. The medical examiner didn't believe that he'd been dead very long, as his body was remarkably intact despite the South Florida heat. He had no tattoos, no distinctive scars, and no dental work at all. His fingerprints didn't match anything in police databases or in CODIS. And the investigators estimated his age between 30 and 50, which is
a big gap, bro.
Yeah.
Oh, man. You know me, they're automatically going to look at me and be like, well, his bone structure says he's 90, but I think he's in his 30s.
Yeah, yeah. So the sheriff's department posted a sketch of his thin, bearded face on Facebook, and that's when all of this started. A lady named Kelly Fairbanks immediately contacted them, saying she knew who it was. Kelly was known as a trail angel in down in Florida, which meant that she met with hikers and made sure that they were fed, you know, offered them a place to shower. She was just really good to them.
Yeah, and he went by a bunch of different aliases, though.
That's right. His first trail name was Denim. He also went by Bill Bellamy, and then later started becoming Mostly Harmless, which people believe is a reference from The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
See, I'm wondering if the nickname Denim, if I'm right, when he first started hiking the trail out of New York, he had carried way too much gear, and then he had blue jeans on, which evidently, I don't know anything about hiking, but evidently it's a big no-no when you're hiking long distance. And I'm wondering if the denim come from that. And they said he had a tent that was way too big, carrying like 50 pounds.
You've never gotten thorns caught in your jeans?
Oh, man. Have you ever had jeans rub you raw?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's probably why people don't hike in blue jeans.
Yeah, yeah. Now, a lot of people had interacted with Mostly Harmless. They'd eaten meals with them. They slept beside them in shelter. And they shared stories among the campfire. Now, dozens of photos of him were circulated online. In some, he's staring directly into the camera. Some he was smiling, some not so much. He had a beard that was sometimes closely clipped. Other times it was long and jagged. The photos show his gear, his clothes and boots. He had a habit of keeping the rain cover over his backpack at all times. Now, the last photo known of Mostly Harmless was taken on April 15th of 2018, less than 10 miles from the swamp where he had wasted away alone and where his body was found more than 3 months later.
Mm. So I didn't realize there was a three-month gap between the last time a photo was taken and his body being found.
Yeah, and that he didn't move that much distance compared to his other times.
Yeah, and he only covered, on average, like 10 miles a day, though. Yeah. But that's still not a large gap for 3 months.
The only thing I can think of is for a hiker, Florida in April, May, and June.
Just miserable.
I was going to say it was beautiful. You know, from being up north and it's cold and it's wet, and now you're finally down here to these hot conditions. It doesn't dip too much at night. Sounds to me like that's where I would want to be. Next up, the media in Florida and New York, they picked up the story, but it gained most of its traction on the internet. Reddit, Facebook, websleuth.com. There were many dedicated forums to unsolve mysteries and cases that we would love to dive down into that picked this up. The Collier County Sheriff's Department released a sworn statement. It's a 3-part podcast about the case. So if you want to dive into this even farther, I'd really look into that. That's going to be about as official as you can probably get for it. Christine Gill, a former newspaper reporter who works in media relations for Collier County, hosted the podcast. And she was quoted as saying, let's say you want to disappear tomorrow. What would you want to do? And that's how she opens up her first episode. I believe it's a great way to really get you thinking about this.
Oh, yeah.
Now, online detectives have pursued the case compulsively. They've mailed out flyers. They've contacted storage facilities where the guy may have left his belongings. Newspaper articles where they were trying to find tools of his trade. Public record searches. The Freedom of Information Act. These guys were everywhere. Dozens upon dozens of interviews, and they were all just trying to dig deeper and deeper into the mystery of Mostly Harmless.
Yeah, they're just trying to figure out who this guy is. I mean, at this point, everybody's taking it on as a personal thing.
The National Missing and Unidentified Persons System at the University of North Texas had 13,189 open unidentified cases as of spring 2020. So that's a lot. I mean,
13,000. These are people.
Yeah.
You know, these are people with stories. These are, they got families.
Most of them have such little information to go off on, like a single bone or a feet that wash up on shore. I haven't figured out why feet keep washing on shore, but happens.
We need to do a podcast on that, by the way.
Feet on the shore.
Literally the feet show. Yeah, just body parts showing up.
Yeah. So the program's director, BJ Spamer, said that it was uncommon to have as many photographs of an unidentified man as there are of Mostly Harmless.
That's right. You can actually Google him. You just Google him, and it will pull up so many images of him hanging out with people and him hiking with everybody, and he's got a familiar face.
He really does.
He does, and that's what makes this even harder.
Yeah, back to his face. I mean, he had these blue-gray eyes that shine through on every one of these photos that he's in. So, I mean, you can just tell absolutely 100%.
And the facial hair didn't really, it changed, but it didn't
It followed his cheekbone structure, like, to the T, man.
Right. It's what makes it so hard when you look at him. It's like, oh, I remember that guy.
Yeah, yeah. One experienced trail hiker, Jennifer Vickers, who was an experienced trail hiker known as Obsidian, spent more time with Mostly Harmless than anybody that has been interviewed so far. She originally knew him as Denim, and they hiked southbound together on the Appalachian Trail in Virginia for about 100 miles, starting over at the Blackburn Trail Center. She laughed a lot when they spoke, recalling their unlikely partnership. She happened to be a black woman who was in her late 60s, and he was a white guy who she thought was about 40 years old, but she didn't even really know, even though they spent so much time together. Both of them had bad knees, and they hiked slowly. She taught him how to make fires, and she watched him eat M&Ms. He obsessed about long distances between his destinations. Obsidian said that some hikers gave off bad vibes, but she always felt safe with Mostly Harmless.
You know, I was traveling from Alaska backpacking down to Louisiana once.
Did you really?
And I actually teamed up with a black lady in her 30s, and I was like 17 at the time.
Oh, wow.
And I met up with her, and she was a black lady that was in either the Air Force or the Navy or the Army. I can't remember. She was in the military. And we had some of the best times together. And we traveled all the way through Alaska together.
Dang.
So I can really relate to this guy right now.
Oh, wow. When Mostly Harmless visited hostels, he usually used the alias Bill or Ben Bellamy. Now, that name doesn't exist in the United States, as far as anyone can tell from their researchers. He told Obsidian that he was from Louisiana, so a local boy to us. But she also heard others tell people, or she also heard him tell others that he was from New York.
Well, you know, what's crazy is they actually did DNA testing on his body, and it come back that he had Cajun descent.
Yeah. Now, that's not unusual for the hiking community to not really get a lot of information. They use handles. They come up with weird nicknames. I guess they're really out on the trail to forget their everyday life and escape from that. And what's the best way than to come up with a new identity, a new name, a new handle? Sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, that's what I would do.
Yeah.
I would be Brim instead of Catfish.
You'd be Brim?
I'd be Brim or Perch.
My buddy Perch over here. Now, Mostly Harmless told other hikers that he worked in the IT field. And based on the notebooks that was found in the tent, that really seems to corroborate.
See, I didn't actually read any of the notebooks or any of the excerpts from it.
Oh, man. I got to look at a little bit of it. There were numbers and computer code and small, neat print in most of them. Ooh. He also wrote out nutritional formulas for a line of trail wafers and plans for a role-playing game with description of miners, warriors, and a nanite guild. He was really into online games, and we'll talk about that later. The notebooks reference Screeps, which is a computer game for programmers in which players control their colony by writing JavaScript. So you've really got to know about code even to just play this game.
Yeah, this guy comes off as really high intelligent.
Yeah. A fellow coder who reviewed the notebook said it was very coherent and lucid. It wasn't the sign of a crazy person's mind. The notebook, he surmised, was where Mostly Harmless simply jotted down his work ideas. Now, Obsidian said she never saw him write anything, not even in the guest registers in the hostels, but he did like to read them, see who else had signed in, who was there previously, you know, just kind of get a feel for it.
I do the same thing. I was in Kansas City one time, read the registry, and I missed Bourdain by 12 hours.
Oh, wow.
Anthony Bourdain was at the same place as me, but 12 hours earlier. Yeah.
The notebooks never got personal. There were no stories of being on the trail, no journal entries. It was just work, just codes. And he told one hiker that he was a big Doctor Who fan, and he had hard drives full of his favorite movie and TV shows that were stored along with his laptop.
Oh, so that's how he passed time along the trail.
Yeah, yeah, he brought TV and movies with him. Whoa. He really had an interest in science fiction that led many to guess that the name Mostly Harmless came from the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy series.
So that makes sense.
Yeah, and if anybody has seen that, you know that Earth was listed and described as harmless. The main character spent time researching, and over 15 years, he edited the excerpt to become Earth was mostly harmless.
So, I mean, a lot of people want to speculate that when he launched out on this trail that he had some terminal illness and this was a last wish.
That would kind of make sense. I mean, I can see the theory.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, he gets all this stuff lined out. He gets his life under control, and then he literally just packs up this giant bag.
Yeah, but the autopsy really says otherwise.
Right, and hits the road. Yeah, yeah, that's what, and when they did the autopsy, though, they didn't find anything. There was no cancer, no tumors.
Nothing. Oh. I mean, they found that his brain was a little small, and his organs were a little atrophied, but other than that, it was okay.
Right, it looks like he just got a little bit sick along the trail. And I mean, he went from, in the pictures, probably 140, 150 3 months before.
Yeah. Now,
to 87 pounds.
Yeah, he was described as having perfect teeth in the autopsy. It was just massive weight loss and his muscles were wasting away. And he also had a faint scar on his abdomen, suggestive of a prior surgery.
Yeah, there was no signs at all that he committed suicide or this was planned out.
Yeah, I really don't think that he went on the trail to die. I mean, he had notebooks filled with thinkings of what he was going to do for work. Now, if you're planning ahead for the future and you're writing down computer code, that doesn't seem like someone who's suicidal to me.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, there's nothing that shows he did this on purpose.
To me, it sounds more like he was getting away from everything so he could almost focus on work and get his ideas.
You know what? I mean, I've been known to do that. I'll take 2 or 3 weeks off, go travel the country, and come back.
Yeah.
And it literally helps me out with work and with life.
A guy named Mike Usher hiked with Mostly Harmless in Pennsylvania in the summer of 2017. Mostly Harmless had told him that he started hiking around Harriman State Park in New York because he was depressed with his life and needed a complete change.
So, which is exactly like we was talking about.
Yeah, he told Usher that he began hiking the trail because he was nervous about getting caught camping illegally in Harriman. But once
that's
on the
so
trail,
weird.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to get busted either. But once he was on the trail, he told Usher that he had never been happier before.
That's what it sounds like, because everybody that comes in contact with him said nothing but good thing about the guy.
Yeah, some online posts suggest that he started from Bear Mountain State Park in New York in April of 2017. Others place his starting point at Harriman State Park. Either would make sense, because they're right in New York.
Right, yeah. I mean, the distance isn't that drastic between the two.
Yeah, both parks are less than 50 miles north of Brooklyn, and they're popular with New York City residents. So maybe he was a New York City resident. You never know.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. There was a request for records of illegal camping violations and impounding cars at both parks. Now, personal information was redacted, and these were pretty much useless. Now, none of the cited campers matched Harmless's age range or height, and there was also a 1998 Ford with a bowling ball and cat food found. It had nothing to do with him, and there was also a Honda Accord with 2 cell phones and a debit card locked inside. But they did not match the description of Mostly Harmless.
Yeah, I don't take him as the type of guy that would leave his cat behind.
Yeah. Investigators begin to rule out dozens of missing persons cases. They search by eye color and height. They spent weeks researching different people, including a man named Steve, who actually went missing in Boulder, Colorado.
But, you know, I will say this. Even locally, we had a guy, he was reported as in Shreveport as coming up missing. And they said he was in a white Jeep.
Okay.
Well, everybody, the state troopers, I actually spoke with the state troopers about it afterwards because that really piqued my interest. So they said he was in a white Jeep. Well, they didn't specify what kind of Jeep, so everybody thought it was a Wrangler.
Okay.
His body was found a couple of days later on the side of the interstate in a white Jeep Cherokee.
Oh, wow.
And my question for the state troopers was why, you know, if it come out of Shreveport, then there was, he was driving erratic. Why didn't somebody stop and look inside the truck?
Yeah,
and they said, and what was said was they were trying to cut this guy some slack. They thought that somebody had broke down on the side of the road and they didn't want to put a tag on it and get their stuff towed and give them a chance to get it off the road. And the whole time they were just looking for a Wrangler.
Wow.
So, I mean, so you got to think, if even if you find a car or whatever, it could sit there for however long before they even try to search it.
Yeah. Now, there's tons of unknowns within the timeline of Mostly Harmless's last 14 months. Nobody reported seeing him in Tennessee or North Carolina, and there's only a handful of people that actually remember seeing him on the Pinto Trail in Alabama. Mostly Harmless told a hiker in Florida that he'd actually skipped the Alabama Roadwalk section of the trail, choosing to ride with some girls.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he made it to Pensacola with some ladies.
Gene, I never seen anything from them, though.
Yeah, there was nothing. There was nothing. But
I would
he did
love
catch
to
a ride.
Story.
He did end up down there. And maybe one day we will.
Yeah.
He also told the guy, like many other people, that he intended to end his trip in Key West. He was photographed a few hundred miles north of Noble's camp on March 17, 2018. He looked thin, he had a wild beard, but he was nowhere near the 83 pounds that his body was finally found at. He was said to be in good spirits and was enjoying the hike. A man named Mike, the Waterboy Gormley, took photos of Mostly Harmless on April 15, 2018, on the side of a road a few miles north of Noble's camp. He was probably the last person to see Mostly Harmless alive. And Gormley's photos? Oh, I'm sorry, what were you going to say, buddy?
So, yeah, so a three-month gap, and he was most likely the last person to see him alive?
I don't think he was traveling much then. I think because of the weather, he'd sort of bedded down and was sort of chilling and maybe trying to regain some strength.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I guarantee that's what was going on.
Yeah, and some of the last of Gormley's photos, Mostly Harmless is not smiling, and his face is tan. His beard was cut short. He was still wearing or carrying that backpack that weighed well over 50 pounds.
Man, we pulled a picture up of that, and it had to be harsh on his body trying to tote that bag.
Yeah, now he was still carrying all of his winter gear as well, and Gormley offered to send it back home, but he refused.
See, that's what a lot of people along the trail will do. They would actually mail their stuff ahead, and that way they can be prepared and just they stop at little depots, pick up their bags, and keep the trip going.
See,
and
I'm
then
just,
they would mail stuff back home.
I'm just liking how all these people are so helpful. It seems like a whole, like, sort of adopted family out
on the
trail.
Oh, it is. It's a giant network of people that just want to work together.
Yeah. Now, Mostly Harmless was always described as a quiet, polite guy who asked for nothing, but he would always accept things like Gatorade, frozen water, and other little treats. Now, Gormley estimated his weight to be around 150 pounds in April of 2018. 9 days later, and just 10 miles away, the hikers found him dead in his tent. Mm. Now, nobody knows whether Mostly Harmless made it to Key West and if he was returning north when something got wrong or if he got sick in Noble's camp and hunkered down just too weak to move. Despite the extreme weight loss, he had food with him when he died. That makes no sense. Makes no sense whatsoever.
What if he just didn't have an appetite?
Could have been. Could have been. And possibly at this time he could have had a breakdown. You never know.
You know, and it was only a few days from him passing to them finding him. So you would think if he was super sick, you know, say, you know, saying he was throwing up, whatever it might have been, that there would have been some signs of it.
Yeah, but what if he was stubborn? You know, what if he didn't want to go get help? But with just Tylenol and antihistamines, maybe would have think he could have had a headache, maybe an allergic reaction could have took him down.
Yeah, but the autopsy didn't show anything.
Nah, they just found...
And the Tylenol could have been for his blown out knee we talked about earlier.
Uh-huh, you're absolutely right. Obsidian last saw Mostly Harmless in Buena Vista, south of the Afton Mountain in Virginia. They fist bumped, and she watched him walk off into the rain, assuming they were going to cross paths again. She says they were just hiking. She says she don't know why people hike, but you meet a lot of good people out on the trail, and he was one of those people.
Now, I do have to warn, this is the part of the story where it kind of goes into speculation, and it's not definitive just yet, but this is highly likely.
Yes. So, in January of 2018, Gary Hoffman, a landlord in Brooklyn, had an apartment building that had gone unpaid for several months. So finally, in January of 18, he decided to open it up. There were computers and monitors and video game paraphernalia everywhere.
Yeah, there was food in the cabinets, clothes in the bathroom. I mean, it literally just looked like somebody had picked up and left the day before.
Yeah, the apartment tenant had even left their wallet behind, credit cards, a passport, New York State ID, and another driver's license.
And they all carried the same name.
Vance Rodriguez.
And that's where we go into, this might be our guy.
That's right. Now, Gary Hoffman, the building's owner, once again, said he had no idea what happened to Vance. Now, disappearing is exactly what Rodriguez, who was about 44 at the time, would have done, and likely on purpose from the people that actually knew him and knew him well, and said that it wouldn't have been that unusual. Friends and former co-workers are convinced that Rodriguez is the hiker known as Mostly Harmless.
Or Denim.
Or Denim, that's right.
Or Ben Bellamy.
Ben Bellamy. Now, he still remains unidentified for nearly 2.5 years, despite the best efforts of detectives in Collier County, Florida, where he was found and through a community of online investigators.
That's right. You got to think they've used his fingerprints. They've used dental stuff. There's no dental records. There's no fingerprints on file. They've done his DNA come back that he did have Louisiana incest, you know, he was a Louisiana descendant.
And one person is 100% sure that it's Rodriguez, and that's his former girlfriend from Louisiana. She wants to help put his identity and who he was and help lay him to rest. Now, she doesn't want to be identified, so we're going to go by her nickname, Tuggy, whenever she is mentioned later on. Now, several of Rodriguez's friends reached out to the Collier County Sheriff's Office to tell investigators who the mystery hiker was and why it had taken so long for them to find out. A social media group run by Natasha Teasley called the Unidentified Male Hiker Ben Bellamy 2018 is one of many social media sites that are dedicated to discovering mostly harmless identity.
Yeah, and I think it has over 7,000 members.
Yeah. Teasley built a website about the case, has a detailed timeline, and recorded every stop that Mostly Harmless made, that she can confirm anyway. She helped organize a fundraising effort and even brought in Oathram, which is a Texas-based DNA lab, into the case. They used the social media sites to pull money together to actually fund the DNA testing that he was found to be Cajun.
Now, guys, this is December 27th, 2020, as we're recording this, and kind of keep in mind that they still haven't come out and 100% confirmed this.
Yeah, and despite him being identified, some mysteries have around the case have even deepened. You know, Vance's parents, they're alive. Dude's got a twin sister and an older brother. Why didn't they choose to find him beforehand? You know,
why didn't he try to contact them? I mean,
yeah, you know how some people are with their family, though. Now, his family wouldn't even respond to requests for comments. And a woman that Rodriguez once lived with in that Brooklyn apartment said that their efforts to identify Mostly Harmless were misguided, meaning that he wanted to be left alone. And there's a reason that no one reported him missing, said a former roommate in Baton Rouge, who asked to be identified only by his first name, which was Randall.
I wonder if he started this trail not expecting to be gone as long and then got lost in it and kept traveling.
You might not have wanted to get off of it, you know? So some interviews with former friends like Randall and coworkers from Louisiana helped paint a picture of Vance as an intelligent but troubled man who often struggled with personal relationships, especially with his family.
That makes sense.
Yes, it does.
So there we go.
They said Rodriguez was hot and cold all the time, and you'd never know exactly how his mood was going to be, and he was prone to having depressive episodes where he could be hurtful and shut people out. Vance told one person along the trail in Pennsylvania that he'd gone into the woods depressed with his life and needing a complete change.
And that would make sense why he never returned home.
Absolutely. He was a deeply kind and caring man who was also a bit of a dick.
Says my kind of dude.
Yeah, yeah. Now, one of those outages may have been the reason why he died alone and nearly skeletal inside of his tent in that Florida swamp. And he had close to $4,000 in cash and no identification. He was trying to do it all on his own. And remember, by that time, he weighed just 83 pounds.
Man, look at this picture of before. That looks a splitting image.
Yeah, that's Vance. I mean, you can't say that's not Vance Rodriguez.
That has got to be him.
Yeah. Friends, they said that Vance liked to travel and go for walks, but none of them ever remembered him talking about wanting to do long-distance hiking. But nature did seem to work on him, though, and his quick trip to Harriman State Park turned into an epic journey that lasted more than a year. Now, Randall said that photos of Mostly Harmless's time on the trail stood out. He looked healthy. He looked more muscular than he'd been when he lived in Louisiana. So, I mean, that was a good thing.
Right.
And Randall couldn't remember seeing him smile so much as those photos that was taken on the trail.
Well, he said it himself. You know, when he launched out on the trail, it made him happy.
Yeah. And Tuggy said that it did not surprise her one bit to hear that he had left everything behind, though she had lost touch with him after they had parted ways.
See, and they're supposed to hear, and hopefully in the next couple of weeks, we're going to actually hear definitively by DNA if it's him.
Yeah. Mostly Harmless was seen at a trailhead in Alabama earlier that month. He'd long since forgot his trail footing. He upgraded the gear along the way. He spent nights in tents, shelters, and, of course, in the hostels. Other hikers knew him as Denim, But, you know, he was going to later become mostly harmless.
Right.
He got that's what stuck with it.
Yeah, you know, and the denim come from in the very beginning, him walking in blue jeans.
Yeah, hey, guys, that's that denim dude riding around there, yeah. You know?
I wish he should have had a denim jacket on.
But Mostly Harmless really gave away to his lifelong love of science fiction and fantasies. And he was first seen in the woods of spring 2017, made his way through New York's Harriman State Park, and he continued southbound, down the Appalachian Trail, through Pinjote, and the Florida trails. He met and interacted with so many people. People took his picture. They took videos and photos. He told them he worked in Brooklyn. And that did turn out to be true. He had his own company in his apartment, which he called VTech. I guess that would be Vance Tech. He told at least one hiker that he was from Baton Rouge and that Rodriguez lived there and he worked there for many years of his life. Now, Randall, his buddy, which we mentioned earlier, met Vance at the University of Southwest Louisiana, now the University of Louisiana at Lafayette, which we've changed a lot of our university names. It gets confusing. And this was back in 94. They played D&D together and all kinds of
It sounds games. Just like what Mostly Harmless would be into.
Yeah, it really does. It really does. Now, earlier in that year of 1994, when he was still a senior at Ove Como High School in Lafayette, Vance won the calculator division at a statewide math competition that had more than 1,000 entrants. So the dude was bright from an early age.
See, I called it earlier. He came off very intelligent.
Yeah, both Randall and Vance spent a lot of time in the computer lab and really didn't have a lot of friends.
And he seemed really adaptive.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, I mean, like you said, he shed the blue jeans, got him some shorts. So later in the pictures, he always had shorts on or some actual hiking pants.
Yeah.
And then the bag, you know, but he still carried that big, heavy bag.
Oh,
but
everywhere.
But they said it did upgrade his tent and stuff as he went down. I mean, he very adaptive.
Yeah, he learned as he went. And between semesters in college, Vance would move back home, and Randall would go visit him, and they'd spend their time playing video games on the computer. Randall actually never met Rodriguez's parents, and eventually the two became roommates in Baton Rouge, though Vance also moved in and out with different girlfriends. They spent a lot of holidays together, including Thanksgiving and Christmas. So Randall and Vance were pretty close.
Yeah, and it makes a little bit of sense now about, you know, how did he go a year without speaking to his family? Yeah. Well, yeah, here we are if he's the same guy.
Uh-huh.
Here he is. He's literally living his own life, doing Thanksgiving and Christmas with his buddies, not talking about his family.
Yeah,
his buddies never meet him.
AdventureJournal.com quotes Randall as saying that he never wanted to talk about his family, ever.
See, now it makes sense how he can go an entire year and how the family didn't go, hey, something's wrong.
Yeah, back to Tuggy, Rodriguez's former girlfriend up back in Louisiana. They dated for more than 4 years. She described Vance as a kind, quiet, and intelligent, but believes his quiet and reclusive nature is one of the things that left him to be going so long before being identified.
Yeah, and Brooklyn Hoffman, which was his landlord, when he went through his belongings, didn't see a cell phone. So where did the cell phone go?
Oh, man, I didn't think about that. Maybe he turned it off and got rid of it.
Yeah, and he said he could hold, you know, he said he only had to hold the guy's stuff for 30 days. This landlord was awesome, though. Held his stuff for 6 months.
Really?
And sadly, eventually, all the belongings, and this is... Man, it would help out so much. Everything ended up on the curb after 6 months.
That's kind of sad.
But you got to think, he thought that guy just moved on with his life. He had no idea.
Yeah.
Nobody was looking for him.
You're right.
But now the landlord did say that Vance had a girl that was living with him that was described as a girlfriend, and he thought they had a falling out, and that's why he disappeared and he left.
Okay, well, that would make sense, you know.
And I wonder if it was the heartbreak that sent him along the trail.
It could have been that final push that he was like, man, you know what, I got to get out of here. In the months before Vance left Brooklyn and started hiking, he was playing this computer game called Screeps, which computer programmers control their colony by writing JavaScript. We talked about that earlier.
Right. We kind of brushed over it.
Yeah. Now, Vance was known as Vehor, a username and email handle that he used for decades. I hope I pronounced that right.
You're going to butcher it. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
He was active in message boards and on the game's Slack channel, telling users that he was usually in front of the computer or that he'd play until about 4 a.m. Notebooks found in the tent were Mostly Harmless were traced to the game, so that should lead it back.
And there couldn't be Vance. Yeah, there couldn't be many people that were playing that game.
No, I'm a huge gamer. I've never heard of this before. Most of Rodriguez's discussions in the Scrape Slack channel centered on the game, but some of it was personal. He talked about ordering cereal in bulk. Man, you got to be a shut-in if you're ordering cereal in bulk.
You know, that's what, you got to think. That's what, I mean, he didn't really leave his apartment, is what it sounds like.
Yeah. He was also known to give advice and even tried to help out someone who wasn't feeling well and had lost their voice. Now, Rodriguez joked that no one would notice if he had ever lost his voice, which I can kind of feel that. A lady named Marie believes Rodriguez saw the trail as another game. The distance between shelters or hostels were his daily missions. His trail name was similar to some of his other online usernames, and that was a world he knew so well. It's a place where no one cared about your real name. So that would, if he was really into online gaming and stuff, and another way to lose yourself would be in hiking on these vast trails, it would seem like it would be appealing to him.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You can put two and two together with that.
Yeah. A lot of his friends ended up knowing about the scar that was on Vance's abdomen and how it got there. During the autopsy at the District 20 Medical Examiner's office in Naples, it was described as indistinct and maybe even a scar. In the photos of Rodriguez's remains, they released it to the public this year, and the scar is large and it's really visible. And this is where things get a little dark. Friends said it was a self-inflicted gunshot wound where Rodriguez had tried to kill himself.
Yeah, but here's what gets me, though. Everybody that crossed paths on the trail said that they didn't see any signs of any mental illness, him losing his stuff, going crazy, or anything.
Yeah, I think it was a big regret in his life. His buddy Randall was, he always said that Rodriguez was open about his suicide attempt and that he donated blood whenever he could because at that point he needed so much. And it was one of the most charitable things that they can recall Vance doing.
He sounded like a guy that just wanted to be left alone.
Yeah. Other hikers that were spoken to last year said mostly harmless, hadn't shown any outward signs of mental illness. He had sadness, and he had dark times, but everyone had the general consensus that the trail really helped the guy out. Now, Jennifer Obsidian Vickers, who spent the most time with Rodriguez on the trail, which culminated into about 100 miles in Virginia. Now, they found perfect partners in each other. She never pried. He never asked too many questions. And she even laughed when he told her that his name was Vance.
There we go.
Yep, there's mostly harmless on the trail with a verified hiker, and he told his name was Vance. How much more concrete evidence do you need right there?
It like I said, in the images, the pictures, it's a split image.
Yeah.
I would be extremely surprised if it's not him.
Now, there's a Screeps message that really should help solidify all this. At the end of January 2017, he made a telling remark to another user. "I'm mostly harmless for now," he wrote.
Yeah, by April, he wasn't even playing the game anymore. This game that he dedicated everything to till 4 o'clock in the morning. He paid a few months' rent. He took a few of his belongings, and he was gone.
Yeah.
That was it.
Close this article out with a quote from his ex-girlfriend, Tuggy. She regrets that he passed alone out there, but she hopes he was at peace.
I think he was. Well, Josh?
Well, Daniel?
That was an awesome story.
Yeah, guys. Remember, Tolkien once wrote, "Not all who wander are lost." Till next time, stay lit.